Oh, I'm so honored to be here. I was listening to the presentation and I thought, wow, you people, bookstores are closing. I went to Cody Bookstore, I didn't know it had closed. And I thought, bookstores are closing around the nation and here. What a wonderful place to be. You people are magic. When I began working with Peter, I felt like I was experiencing my own magic with Sacagawea. I deliberately misspell her name, by the way. I wrote this piece. I don't call it poetry. I wrote this piece after I'd woken up from a dream in which a woman had appeared to me, and I scribbled this down, and I tried not to change anything that I wrote, which was I fuss over my work, so this kind of came out actually as a fever dream, and I tried to imagine what Sacagawea had been through, what she was thinking when these men were sending these bundles, these almost spirit bundles to the Great White Father. I tried to imagine her as a traditional woman, Indian woman, and what she must have thought. And this is one of the images or stories that came to me. And I can't. I don't know whether the horror that Lewis and Clark brought to the West is sort of captured here, but traps. They are trapping the animals. Lewis and Clark are sending fox to the Great White Father. They have trapped a spirit fox, a fox that carries the weighted soul of a man possessed by bad spirits. Meriwether places the caged fox at the edge of camp every day because the cage is foul as pig's blood, he says. But I know Meriwether is afraid. Every night the caged fox moves when night fastens the moon-heavy water to spirits, when light sifts down in dark currents and the river begins chanting. Do not look there. At the bottom there, along the lip of shore, water channeling the thing not named, the dim sky water carries is older than time, older than blood, bigger. In the deepest still place of the river, fox is chanting, sparkling scales of fish scattering skilt, beaver slick currents, fox conjures sparks of water, something smoothing stones. Fox gnashes his teeth, his black mouth open, his teeth so white I chatter in sleep. They can't put his cage far enough away from me. In the dark, he is the thing moving. I wake, his rattling cage beside me, fox whispering a harsh wind low. I have opened the cage door, he remains. Fox blood is sour, his small head wounded. I am afraid of his teeth, his grim, shining eyes. Mostly I'm afraid of his voice. He could kill me with his stories. I bludgeon my wife, he tells me. I broke the blood of her flesh. I broke the thin bones of her fingers for touching another man. I branded hot ribs with fists. I stabbed her with a fire stick, blazing her to sear her to me. She turned so many colors the sky could no longer please me. Who is she, I ask. Wife for dark nights, he answers. Wife for dark nights, wife for dark nights, wife for dark nights, wife for dark nights, wife for dark nights. I got a telephone call from my mother. I'd had a dream, and I just want to share this, and then I'll sit down. I had a dream in which a woman was standing next to me in that fuzzy, hazy morning kind of television fog, and there was an Indian woman standing next to my bed, and it looked like she had a box or a cage, and I wrote that down. And then my mother called me the next morning, and she said, the Smithsonian has released the sacred spirit fox of the Blackfeet this morning. Did you hear the news? Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. What a pleasure and an honor to work with Peter Koch. What an amazingly stunning journey when we can open up our hearts to creativity, collaboration, and I don't know, the spirits, I think. Thank you.